Today we begin the Passion Week. For those of you who do not know what that is, we are remembering Jesus entering into Jerusalem to go to the cross, actually. This is the most significant week for Christians. If you are a Christian, you should remember this week. Passion Week. Passion means suffering. And I don't think you need to be sad or anything, because He suffered for us, and He died and resurrected. So it is a very, very significant week. And if you remember, Jesus entered into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Remember that when we were studying John's Gospel? It is that week. It is the way the king is supposed to enter into Jerusalem. So he entered the city of Jerusalem as a king, but he went to the cross and he was cursed. Could you just think about that for a moment? Okay. He was the king. In fact, he is the King of Kings. And he went to the cross and he became a curse. That's the title, Under a Curse. And I want to draw your attention, because the gospel is not something that touches esoteric side issues of your life. It is a stark truth that you are under a curse. And I'm just going to pause, because we love to talk about blessing, and I don't know what your concept of blessing is, but polar opposite, or the extreme opposite of what blessing is, what a curse is. And the Bible says, you are under a curse. It's a stark truth. Is it an offensive truth? I know it is. I did word search and looked through the scripture. This is the only place where gospel is described as a curse and blessing. Did you know that? Did you know that? You are under a curse. Okay? So the question is, under a curse, who is? Who is under a curse? Second question is, under a curse of whom? Okay, so let me try to answer that. The scripture is not unclear about this. It's very clear. It is very clear. Who is under a curse? Bible says, everyone who cannot obey the law of God perfectly. Does that apply to you? I'm sure it does. You are under a curse. Okay. And I'm saying this deliberately several times, because we do not hear that word, especially to your face, right? But the scripture is speaking to your face. You are under a curse. Okay? So it includes all of us, all human beings, and that's the human condition. The scripture, how it sees it. Okay? So under a curse of whom? The second question is, whose curse is that? Is that a curse of a witch? Or is it a curse of someone you hate? Someone who hates you? Is that a curse of a devil? No, the scripture says, listen, under the curse of God. Under the curse of God, people. If you could just look up here, I would appreciate that, because I want to speak to you from God's standpoint. And the reason he's giving you this stark truth is because he wants to deliver you. That's what the gospel is. People, without the gospel, you are under a curse. So last week we began to talk about the heart of the Galatian gospel. Moving into the third chapter of this sixth chapter book of Galatians. And basically we came to this conclusion that no one is justified before God by your own strength. Let me just begin with that. I don't know why that is such a difficult truth for you to articulate. I ask people to articulate that, but people have trouble articulating that. Let me repeat that one more time. No one is justified. No one will be saved, save themselves before God with your own strength. It's not a very difficult truth. It's a simple truth, and yet people have a hard time articulating that. And I thought about that. Why is that? Is that a lack of intellectual power? I don't think that's it. That's what it is. I think it is because it is the spiritual truth. Okay? All religion is trying to reach God on your own, some one way or another, through your own strength. The Bible says, no one will be justified. Jesus said it a little differently. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one will be able to come to me except through me. Either he's a greatest liar, or he's speaking the truth. There's one or the other. Do you see it? So here is the truth of the biblical truth that is so universal, meaning it applies to all human being, whether you know it or not. You know, so many truth is true whether you know it or not. Am I right? There's so many truth you do not know. So many things you do not know. And yet, that is not untrue because you do not know. It is true. And biblical truth says no one will be able to be right with God or save themselves, but rather you are under a curse of God. And I just want to pause because I know it is a shocking truth. Did you know that? Did you know that? That applies to your family members. That applies to your mother and father. That applies to your child. That applies to you. You are not neutral. You know, we tend to think God is one thing and we are kind of like neutral. You are not neutral. You are never neutral. Do you follow? So this stark truth is that you are under a curse. Apart from your spouse, at the end, it's not going to be contingent upon your spouse. It is not going to be contingent upon your mother. It's not even going to be contingent upon the church you went to. It's not. You stand alone before the Lord. Okay? So then what is this curse? And Pastor, why do you want to talk about this? The reason I want to talk about this is because cross is the curse. And that's the central message of Christianity. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand anything about the gospel. You don't. You are apart from the gospel. Okay? So what is the curse? And curse, can I just give you some sort of definition? Curse in the scripture is, or the curse of God is, you as an enemy of God, as a sinner, because sin by nature, you are rebelling and disobeying and you are against God. That's in your nature. You do not even have to try. People say things like this. Have you ever heard someone say like, I just don't want to be bothered by anyone. You know what that says? That means I am the king. Don't let anybody tell me what to do. That's your nature. That's my nature. Apart from the grace of God. So, what is a curse? Curse is an enemy of God. As an enemy of God, as a sinner, God rejects you and abandons you with his judgment and wrath. Anathema. And we learned that word in Galatians 1:8. God anathematizes false gospel and false teachers. And people who are against. The word means he's devoted to destroy. He's going to destroy. You are the object of his wrath. Wow, that's a very different message than what I'm used to hearing. Well, from Galatians gospel, from the scripture. It's a stark truth, right? So it is the opposite of blessing. Eulogia. You know, blessing, we love to talk about that. We talked about blessing last week. Through Jesus, the blessing of Abraham came to us. What does that mean? Before blessing, you are under a curse. Okay? So when God pronounces a curse, His judgment is on sin, and he rejects and abandons you into the darkness. If you remember teaching of Jesus, he often talks about the servants who are wicked, and he is casted into darkness. Remember that? If you read the Gospels. And there's going to be darkness and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. Okay? That's curse. Jesus talked about curse. In fact, Jesus became a curse. That's the central message of Christianity. Again, that's the human condition, and that's where all humanity is apart from Christ. So for us to better appreciate the cross and the blessing, the curse, I want to talk about what blessing is. Because if we define what blessing is from the scripture, if you just reverse that completely, extremely, that's what a curse is. And that's the state of where people are. We just sang it today. That's the state you are in. That's the truth. Okay? So to explain that, we want to look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 27, where God tells Moses, after making covenant with his people, once you tell Aaron and his sons, the Levites, the priests, to bless God's people with this prayer. So this is the way God blesses, okay? Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, 25, 26, he repeats three times the same thing, okay? A little bit differently, but basically, essentially the same thing, and define what blessing is. Numbers chapter 6, verse 6 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. He's going to say the same thing again. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He said the same thing. He's going to say it one more time, a little bit differently. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance, his face, upon you and give you peace. That's blessing. Can you think of curse? Lord bless you and keep you, meaning that's a blessing. That means curse would be Lord curses you and casts you out. Okay? Lord makes his face shine upon you, the light, right? Or the curse would be the Lord make his face cover himself, sorry, in complete darkness. You're in complete darkness. Without Christ, you're in complete darkness. Okay? Thirdly, Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And there is no peace. You are at war. You're an enemy of God. You are the object of his wrath. Okay? Some of you may be thinking, wow, Pastor, chill. What's wrong with you? What do you have to talk about things like this? Because I got to talk about this because unless you understand the gospel, you are under a curse. That's why. Because without understanding that, you think you are pretty good, actually. You think you're better because you go to church. You think you're pretty good because you're not killing anyone. Like Russians are, whatever. You think like that, but the scripture does not say that's where your state is. Your state is in a desperate state. Your family member is in a desperate state. Your mother and father and your son and daughter is in a desperate state. Do you understand that? And we don't think like that. We just kind of relax and we think about what's going to come after this worship service. Really, really deceived and foolish. So let me just explain what blessing is. After saying that, this is what Lord said to Moses. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel that I'm going to bless them. You know what he's saying? I put my name on the line and I'm going to bless them. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. He chooses his people by grace, just like you, if you're in Christ. And he's going to bless you and it's going to put his name on the line. Do you follow? Okay? So what is a blessing in this word? Blessing is to keep you, okay? The Lord is the keeper. I don't know whether you appreciate that word. If he does not keep you, he's going to cast you out. He's going to throw you into darkness. And to better really appreciate the meaning, we could go to Psalm 121. And I love this psalm. When I visit your homes, I share this verse. I lift up my eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord is my keeper. Lord is my keeper. Yahweh is my keeper. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Can I ask you, who keeps your life? Who cares about your life? Really, brothers and sisters, who really cares for your life? Will your parent stay forever with you to keep you? Mm-mm. My father passed away 30 years ago. 30 years ago. He was a good father. I know he wanted to keep me and wanted the best for me. But he couldn't stay. He left me 30 years ago. What about your spouse? Do you think your spouse will keep you? Do you think your mother will keep you? My mom is 85 years old now. 85 years old. Do you think your pastor will keep you? Who's going to keep you? If someone doesn't keep you, what's going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you in eternity? Will you be cast away into darkness forever? That's a possibility, people. Okay? The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is at your shade, at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor moon by night. It's a poetic expression. Sun and moon, it's always there during the day, during the night. Nothing during the day or night could harm you. You understand that? The Lord's going to keep you. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Evil is after you. It's after you. Who's going to keep you? The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. And the Lord will keep you from your going out and coming in, every step of the way. Who's going to keep you? Maybe you will be thrown into the darkness. Some of you are in the darkness right now. That's why you just don't want to live. You're not happy. You just have no energy to do anything. Lord wants to save you from that. That's what Christian gospel is. Okay? And he will keep you and going out of your coming and going from this time forth and forever. He's the keeper of your soul for the rest of eternity. Can I just ask you, do you believe in gospel and Christianity of what is this described here? Do you believe that? Or is it just some sort of religious ritual that you do? I don't mean to upset you, but I'm just asking you. My wife's grandfather, when he was passing away, he was in his early 80s, and he was an elder of a church. And he was a faithful Christian. But once he got old and he got sick and he got dementia, and he could not recognize the family members. Do you know anybody like that? It happens a lot these days. My wife's grandfather could not recognize his own family members. I remember visiting him at the nursing home about 30 years ago with my wife, and just sitting before him, because I do remember him, and basically looking at him, and he didn't recognize me. He barely recognized me. So I was just sitting there, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, this man, Ellen's grandfather, who was faithful to you all these years, now he doesn't recognize us. Does he know you? I really ask this question. Does he recognize you? Does he know you? Are you in him? You know, I was asking this question. And I think that's a fair question. Fair question. Right? And then I just sat there, and then Lord reminded of Psalm 121. I will keep you. I am the keeper of your soul. From now to forevermore. And then it really dawned on me. It's not even our faith holding on to Christ until the moment we die. What if you get dementia? Then you're lost, right? That's not how it works. It is his hand keeping you, keeping your soul. Okay? That's the blessing of God, right? So Yahweh will be with you, right there with you, and protect you always from all things, from all evil, and you'll be safe and secure, and all your going in and out from now to forevermore. The curse would be opposite, people. And you are under a curse without Christ. I'm just giving you stark truth today. Then perhaps we can appreciate the cross. Secondly, blessing is to make his face shine upon you. Do you come look up here, please? I would appreciate that. Shine upon you. God is shining upon you, and there is a light in front of you. What would be the opposite curse? You're in complete darkness. You have no idea where you're going, and you'll be so fearful because you have no idea what's going to happen to you. You don't even know what's a step ahead of you, which is the truth. Without the light, you are in the complete darkness. When the Bible says, make his face shine upon you, the face refers to the person himself. That's why I want to speak to you. I'd rather speak to you than speak to like people who don't care to listen. I really want to speak to you, right? Lord, shine upon you and showing his favor and grace to you, leading you, clearing the way for you, giving you hope and confidence. Are you there, people? Are you there? Is your family member there? Is your mother and father there? Do you care? Or do you not care? Seriously. Okay. Bible says in Psalms, the Lord is my light. He's the one who shines upon you. And Jesus comes along and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Do you hear it? If you're not following Christ, you're in darkness. You're in darkness. There's no neutrality here. We tend to, you know, kind of like soften, beautify, sugarcoating the truth and basically saying we are kind of neutral because we're church people. The Bible doesn't say that. You're not neutral. You're not. You are in a blessing term with God or a cursing term with God. Right? That's what the scripture is teaching. Thirdly, blessing is from Numbers chapter 6. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you. Lifting up his countenance. Once you lift up your countenances, people, don't hide. Lift up your countenance and shine upon you and give you peace. So the blessing is Lord's countenance is looking at you. Looking at you. I love that. Right? Do you ever been this by people you trusted? That's not a good feeling, is it? He ignores you. She ignores you. It happens a lot in human relationship, by the way. Can you imagine God turning his face away from you? That's what curse is. And that's what happened on the cross. He really turned his face away from this evil. Right? This evil. And I think of what happened at the cross is worse than the World War II. World War II killed, I don't know how many millions of people it killed. But the cross saved billions of people. Do you see it? Do you believe in the gospel like that? Or is it sort of religion to you? right? Jesus said, you know, in John chapter 14 about peace. Listen to this. This is right before he went to the cross. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. What kind of peace is that? It's the peace that he had with the Father. Do you have that peace? Or are you at a, you know, enemy hate term with God? You ignore him. You don't want to be bothered by him. You despise him. There's no neutrality, people. There's no neutrality. My peace I give to you, and Jesus, that he had his Father, his right standing with the Father, or his rightness with the Father, he's going to give to you through the cross. You are under a curse, and through the cross, you will have a right standing with God. Okay? So that's what's going to happen, and Jesus kind of summed it up like this in John chapter 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Cross is the judgment. Look up here. Cross is the judgment. It really divides the people. Either you are cursed or blessed. And this is how he describes it. Now the judgment of the world is here. The ruler of the world, referring to Satan, he will be cast out. And those who follow Satan will be cast out. But when the Son of Man is lifted up, referring to the cross, the greatest historical event, and the greatest message there is, I hope it is to you as well, right? When the Son of Man is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men to himself. Do you see the difference? One is being cast out, curse, and you'll be drawn closer to him, blessing. So it is the blessing. So I just described blessing. What is a curse then? What is the curse of God like? The extreme opposite of that. Lord bless you and keep you. The opposite would be Lord curses you and casts you out into the darkness. Cast out into the darkness. Forever. What's the curse? Secondly, curse would be instead of Lord make his shine face shine upon you and be gracious to you, you are in the darkness, lost and fearful forever. Can I just describe something? Right now we're living in a world where there's a common grace. Bible says God shines the light upon good and evil people. Right now he does that. There's a common grace that Lord, just forbear your sin. You're living in sin, he just kind of withhold that. For the time being. He's patient with you. But once the judgment is done, once you're done, there is no more grace. There is no more grace, people. Once you're in the darkness, once you're in hell, there is no more grace. There is no more common grace. Only the justice. And in hell, you're going to continue to hate God. You're going to continue to just say, I hate him. I don't want anybody to tell me why. You're going to be just complaining, same thing. So your sin continues in hell. That's why the punishment and the judgment, wrath, has to continue forever. Do you follow? Okay. And thirdly and lastly, curse would be opposite of the blessing we just described. Lord, lift up his countenance and shine upon you and give you peace. Instead of the peace, he is in enemy term with you because you are his enemies. You hate him. You disobey him. You despise him. You don't care to listen to him. That's what curse is. Am I boring you? I hope not. I hope not. I'm giving you a stark truth so that the cross would not be cheap to you. So that the gospel is not cheap to you. Right, people? This is where the gospel begins. Right now, this is where the gospel begins. You are in this state. You are under a curse or under the grace of living God. One or the other. And what makes the difference? It's your relationship with Lord, with Jesus. It really is, people. Okay? The good news is there is another way. Rather than relying upon your own ways, you break the law of God and you are under a curse, but there is another way that you could be justified and you could be in favor of God. That is not your ways. And that is, we call that faith in what Christ has done. Faith in what Christ has done. Okay? So, the conclusion is verse 11. If we could just look at verse 11. You know, we talked about blessing last week. Great, right? Abraham's blessing is upon you. And as soon as he finished, he started talking about the curse. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Anybody who doesn't have Christ, you do your own strength. Living on your own strength. You are cursed, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. No, it is evident no one is justified before God by the law. No one. I don't know why it is so difficult. No one is justified by your own strength. It was never meant to be like that. That's the difference between all the religions and the gospel and Christianity. I hope you will articulate that to your family members. Do you share that with your family members? How many of you do share that with your family members? Would you say amen? I'm going to say, nobody shares? I'm going to ask one more time. How many of you share this kind of gospel truth to your family members? Would you say amen? Very few people. Kind of sad, isn't it? It's kind of sad. Your family member have no relationship with Christ. Under the cursed term with God, and you do not share. And you do not care. That's pretty sad, isn't it? But the righteous shall live by faith. Righteous shall live by faith. That's a key statement in the New Testament, especially by Paul, written in three significant places. Romans 1:17. Very, very important place. Very, very important place. And Galatians 3:9, right here, we're reading that. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Where is that coming from? This week, I was reading a minor prophet called Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament, toward the end. That's a very, very interesting book. There is a great verses there. The righteous shall live by faith. And the other famous Habakkuk verse is, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you know that? At the end, it's all going to be glory of God. It's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about me. Did you know that? Until we grasp that kind of like biblical stark truth, you're living in lies and deceptions, which most people do in this world, which most people do. Okay? Habakkuk chapter 2, basically, the prophet is really complaining to the Lord. That's the theme. He's complaining because God told Habakkuk that God's going to judge the nation of Assyria and Judah, southern Judah, by using Babylonia. Okay? It takes a little bit of an explanation. Babylon is an uprising nation, superpower, where the Iraq is right now, Babylonian Empire. It's going to destroy Assyrians, and it's going to destroy Judah. And the complaint and the argument of Habakkuk to his God was this: God, how could you possibly use that kind of wicked nation to judge these nations? How could you possibly do that? Do you notice, if you read the Bible, all the wars and fights, God is involved. Did you know that? God is in full control of human history. You tend to think there is the Christian faith, and then there is the war between Russia and Ukraine. No people. You think there is COVID, And then there is church life. No people. Bible is very, very clear. God is in full control of human history. That's the kind of God you need to see. God's going to judge Assyria, Assyrian Empire. It's like, can you imagine? God's going to use Russia to destroy the United States of America. Babylonia to destroy the Assyrian Empire. It's sort of like that. And so the prophet is basically saying, how could you possibly do that? That doesn't make any sense. That is not right. So he was complaining to God. And here is God's answer. Are you ready for God's answer? God's answer is this. I'm going to judge all nations. That's his answer. I am going to judge all the nations. But the righteous shall live by faith. That's humbling, isn't it? It's not because of you are Israelites. It's not because you are Assyrian. It's not because you are Babylonian. God's going to judge all nations. That's what he said if you read Habakkuk. He will judge all the nations. You too. Me too. But the righteous shall live by faith. That's the context, people. Really humbling. And Paul uses that in his Romans gospel. Romans gospel. Paul uses that in Galatian gospel. And the author of book of Hebrews uses that in the book of Hebrews. And then the following chapter is about faith. Faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Do you see that? You could stand right before the judgment of God, but God's plan was always salvation by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Okay? And the literal meaning of that is the one with, by faith, one with faith is righteous and will live. That's the gospel. That's the context of the gospel. Not so much about better your future, better your marriage, so that you will have a little better relationship. All those things could be side blessings, but this is the central message of the gospel and Christianity. Lord will judge all the nations, but the righteous shall live by faith. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Okay? Paul shares the gospel in verse 13 and 14, which I'm going to explain on this Friday, the Good Friday, and I hope you treasure that Friday, because that's the day that Jesus went to the cross and be cursed for you, became a curse for you. If that doesn't mean too much to you, you have something to search your heart about. You really do. Okay? Let me explain the gospel. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by became a curse. That's a shocking news. If that doesn't shock you, maybe you didn't really thought about the gospel. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. You know, this morning I was thinking about that. In Deuteronomy, the people who commit a crime, Lord sentences a capital punishment, and the way the Jews to carry out capital punishment is stoning. It's brutal, if you think about it. The stone has to be thrown to the person, the criminal, and the skull or the thoracic area needs to be crushed so that you will die. And then the Bible says, let him hang on a tree. What is that? He's already dead. What is that? Sign of a curse being cast out from God. That's in Deuteronomy. Now think with me. Son of God was hung on a tree. No small thing, is it? That's no small thing. No small thing for you to just kind of overlook. Son of God was cast out and hung on a tree, and he became a curse. Okay? That's what it means. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And the outcome is what we are so used to hearing. So that in Christ Jesus, blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles or to all the nations, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I'm going to save verse 13 for Friday. I want you to think about this. Can I ask you to, I asked this to Kim Bible study last night. Can you spend maybe 3 hours this week with the Lord? Just all by yourself with the Lord, thinking about this message. And, you know, if you meet up with someone, have lunch, to catch up and have like a coffee afterward or something, I know you easily spend 2-3 hours. Am I about right? So can I ask you to do that? Spend some time really thinking about the central message of Christianity if you're a Christian. And really, really appreciate what this message means. Christ redeemed us because you are under a curse. That's what cross is. And he did that for us. And the question is why? Grace. That's what grace is. Who graced you? Can I ask you? Who in this life graced you? Who in this life is show favor to you? Who in this life will keep you? Who in this life shine some hope on you? Does anybody shine hope on you? I hope there is. That's what the church is. Who in this world leads you to the right path? Who keeps you? We call that blessing, people. We call that blessing. And the Bible, biblical truth is that you are under a curse. Okay? The gospel is the news. Christ redeemed us. I'm just proclaiming to you. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just proclaiming it to you, and you can respond the way you want to respond. Christ redeemed you by becoming a curse for you. And you could just respond. It's not, you know, the good news is not asking you to do anything. He's not asking you to do anything to earn that, to reach that, to achieve that. But I'm just proclaiming the news to you. He already has done that. And what are you going to do about that? You're going to walk away with stoic face. You're going to walk away. I'll try next week. Right? Come on, people of God. Lord wants to save you from the curse, and you're saying, let me think about it. Let me think about it. Or sometimes, my life is good. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my wayward life. Right? People of God. Lord is being gracious to you. He's speaking the truth to you. You are under a curse. But there is the gospel. The outcome of the gospel is in Christ and Christ alone, the curse is replaced with the blessing. Right? He blesses me and he keeps me. And he lifts up his countenance toward me and he's gracious to me. And he lifts up his face to me and he gives me peace. That's the gospel, people. That's the greatest blessing. Okay? And it is a double fold. And the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, which refers to everyone here, so that you might receive promised Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, Holy Spirit, God lives in you. That is the greatest blessing. If you don't have Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. You're not in the blessing of God. That's what the scripture is teaching. But that is available to you if you would just humble yourself and surrender and put your trust in Him with your life. Okay? Ultimate outcome is receiving the promised Spirit through faith. No works, no serving, no giving. It's only through faith in Christ. How many of you are Christian? Would you say amen? How many of you believe in the message of the cross? Is it a foolishness to you? The Bible says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You're going to remain under the curse, and you'll be under the curse forever unless you turn and really submit yourself to the Lord, proclaiming it to you. You are hearing, and I pray that you would respond. Okay? Let me finish with this final thought. I don't know what you expected when you come to church today, what kind of message you expect to listen today, but as I go through Galatians chapter 3, the word curse comes out 5 times in 5 verses. I cannot bypass that. In fact, this is the central message of Galatians. He became a curse for us, so that we who are under the curse may be redeemed and delivered. That's the central message. And I know it is a stark truth. Stark. It is a shocking truth. And it has to shock you. Otherwise, you're not going to believe it. Or you will take it very cheap. Okay, I'll take it. Okay, I'll go to heaven. It's so cheap. So cheap. I'll take it. Okay, I get it. I need to believe in Jesus and I go to heaven. So cheap. Is that how it sounds to you? Absolutely not, people. Absolutely not. All who rely on works or human strength are under a curse, and cursed be everyone who does not abide all things of the law. United States of America, the Constitution of United States of America, is pretty serious. Am I right? It's pretty serious. Let's say there is 100 items, and you kept 98 of them. You're a good citizen, but you only violated 2. Will United States government forgive you? 2, only 2 out of 100. Jonathan. No? They'll be penalized, right? But those 2 violation has to do with, let's say one is treason and the other one is a murder. Will the Constitution of United States of America leave you alone? You better not. You better not believe that. It's not going to leave you alone. The law of God, the standard of law of God is perfection. One is treason. We definitely commit treason. We commit murder. We commit adultery. Should God leave you alone? Should God leave me alone? Absolutely not. There is no one who will be justified by your own strength. Oh, let me give some good stuff to poor people. Let me give some money to church. You think that'll nullify what you have done as a treason, person of treason and murderer? Absolutely not. But there is the gospel. The gospel is, Son of God takes all of that curse of the law upon Himself. Not cheap. It's not cheap, people. Don't treat gospel cheap. Don't treat the cross cheap. It demands my soul. It demands my all, I believe. Do you agree? Just be fair to that. Be fair to that truth. You think it's cheap? Let's begin after the worship service, and then the life begins. Is that how the gospel works? It's not like that, people. The stark truth of the scripture is that you are under a curse. your mother and your father, your spouse, your child, your friend, and you are under a curse as a sinner. But there is a remedy, though. There is a remedy. And the gospel has been proclaimed to you that you could surrender with all hands lifted up. You drop all your weapons. No conditions attached. But fully surrender to Christ. Gospel begins with that truth, that shocking truth. You're under a curse. It begins with that truth, that desperate human condition and the reality that you may or may not agree. But that is the reality. Perhaps it is worse than the terminal cancer. Can you imagine you were diagnosed with a 4th stage terminal cancer and you come to church and I always tell you, oh, I think you have a bad flu. Don't worry about it. I know the cure, but I always tell you, oh, I think you have a bad case of a flu. When you really have a 4th stage cancer. Oh, don't worry, people. I think you have a bad case of flu. Little body ache? Take some Tylenol. Rest up a couple days. I'll see you next Sunday. That's unconscionable, people. That would be evil. That would be evil. But the scripture says you are under a curse. Worse than 4th stage terminal cancer. But there is a message of hope. Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a law for you. Cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Will you come? Will you surrender? Or will you just kind of, I'll do that next week. I'll do that next week and just continue to live in that kind of foolishness. Brothers and sisters, we're going into the Passion Week right now, the climactic moment of Christian salvation history, climactic moment. And we are remembering that. He loves you. That's why he became a curse for you. Let's pray.